Good morning.
Just like to take this time to welcome you to Peoples Valley Baptist Church. If you would take out a bulletin, I'm going to go through the upcoming events in the bulletin. You'll see here it has the service outline in there also. But we want to start with our church times actually too. Sunday morning, Sunday school, 10 o'clock. Be sure and bring somebody to come to one of the Sunday school classes here at Peoples Valley. We have a great time. It's a great fellowship. It's a great way to learn about the Bible. So come be a part of that with us at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. Our regular morning worship service on Sundays, 11. Evening worship service at 6. Wednesday night Bible study at 7. Now on our bulletin, we have an attachment card. If you're a visitor here today for the first time, fill this detachable part out, put it back in our offering plate. We'd love to get back in touch with you. Also, if you know somebody that needs to be talked to about salvation, write a name on here and give us a way to get in touch with them. We'd love to do that. Also, on Wednesday night, Brother Bob Carroll's been doing the Wednesday night Bible study. And he's got, how do you say that, Bob?
Teacher.
Thank you. That's what we're doing now, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So Brother Bob's been doing the Wednesday night, and he's in a different study. Also, keep in mind that you can't say that. After service is over today, we're going to have the activities meeting for the planning for the next month coming up. Choir practice today at 5 o'clock. Birthdays, Brother Darrell Bailey, let's sing happy birthday to him. Let's sing happy birthday, Darrell.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
And many more.
Thank y'all.
And we've got a couple of people, Clarence Westbrooks and Hazel Harding, just keeping memory. Also, just keep in mind the cantata's coming up, and that's going to be on April the 20th. And it's sitting here, it says, be in much prayer for our upcoming Easter cantata. What do y'all mean by that?
Well, everybody's well and not sick.
That's right. I'm sure everybody, nobody's sick and everybody can sing. But it's coming up. And also keep in mind for the conference is coming up on April the 13th. This time I'm going to turn it over to Brother Dave's conference.
That new study that I want to talk about. We're getting ready to begin a Beth Moore study of the patriarchs.
Amen.
Going back into Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And it's quite a good study. We've got workbooks. And we'll begin that Wednesday night. And there'll be a, if I can gather together, from Bark of App Association, the people that haven't turned them back in. But there's a short DVD. The ladies that have done Beth Moore studies know there is a short DVD that gives you an introduction and that kind of thing, probably 20 minutes, half an hour, or something like that, and then right into the work. Now, it looks like we're going to have some more people come than what we've had in the past. I'm excited about that. Mm-hmm. And we've got more room for anyone, but I need to know it so I can get a workbook. Now, I've got some workbooks here, but I need to know about it, so contact me and listen. I can take all of you right now over into the fellowship hall, and we have more than enough chairs. So what I'm telling you is we would love to have
Amen.
You, and it's a perfect time to get in on the start of a new Bible study. Midweek gives you
Amen.
A clip that we haven't, I don't know about y'all, but I need it. I know that. So
Amen.
Come join us.
That's great, Mom. Yes.
I also have one. For the ladies that did WMU last night for our missions and all the work they did for our spaghetti dinner last night, we raised over $300 to come back into missions. And that's just a blessing. And thank y'all all for your help. And Libby Arrowwood did a wonderful job, and the singers. And thank you to everybody that gave. And I appreciate it so much.
Wow.
Thanks.
time, I'd like to ask everyone to stand and turn to page 206.
Yeah. just such an honor and a joy to be in your house this morning, Father. And Lord, just the fellowship of just your children, Lord. I just thank you. Father, bless this church. Father, bless Darrell as he gets up and brings your message, Lord. Just open our hearts and just be with us, Father. Lord, we give you all the thanks and the honor and the praise. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's look over now to page 633. Mine eyes have seen the glory. We'll do the first, second, fifth verses.
Yeah.
so good to be in the house of the Lord. I hope and pray that each and every one of you had a good week this week. Continue in our series, The Last 24 Hours of Jesus' Life, as we continue to get into the mind of how wonderful it was during Easter. A lot of times we don't realize how personal Easter is. Last time we were talking about how that we are to remember the Lord. It's a memorial as we started our series, The Last 24 Hours. And I thank God, as you look into your bulletin, you'll find a PowerPoint sheet that's in there that you can follow with me. I put some copy of the scripture in there, and then on the very back, I've actually got a short outline on there that you can follow. And I thank God, as we remember last time about this, some of the things that we did this past week is basically went through some tough times with a lot of our church family, and we're still trying to lift a lot of them up as they're trying to go through and trying to recover from health issues. And I hope and pray that you'll continue remembering all of those that are in our bulletin as well. Tonight, is Lord being our helper, I say that because I'm like moving a little slow myself. I've tweaked my back, but I felt tremendously better since I've got here this morning. And I'm going to tell you, I wish I just came on over here and made the sacrifice yesterday. I think I would have started feeling better then instead of going through all I did. But I thank God is tonight, if you're able to be with us, I'm going to be talking more about the future of the millennial kingdom. I want to talk about the two places that are going to be desolate, even though that everything else is going to be lush and beautiful in that millennial kingdom. There are going to be two places that will be burning, and that will be a fire that will be going. And then we're going to talk about also the fate of the Muslim nation themselves as well, when we look at that and what takes place. I don't know how I'm going to bring all that about. You say, well, you're preaching about it. That's true. But by this time and then, the Lord may change my heart. And if He does, I'm going to go with whatever He says. And so, but that's our intention tonight. We were preaching last time about remember me. In Matthew chapter 26, again, we're still in that chapter. And the primary purpose of communion, as you start out with Easter every time, is, I thank God, is that's exactly how Easter started out with our Lord and Savior. He began to have the primary purpose of a meal, not to eat food, but to establish a memorial. And I thank God, as we have our communion the first Sunday of every month, I thank God that we remember that moment as well. Every time, every month, we remember what the Lord did for us on the cross of Calvary. We remember the love that God has for us, and we also remember the life that Christ gave for us every time through that communion. But I thank God today, I want to continue with that personal pronoun. Notice last Sunday, remember me. This Sunday, betray me. And I thank God that's how personal Easter is for every one of us. Believe it or not, it is very personal. And so as you take out your copy of the scripture, Matthew chapter 26, or take out your copy of the PowerPoint and the bulletin. And I thank God if we have it on it this morning, you can follow with us as we continue on. I thank God it wasn't the moment on the cross that the battle was won for Easter. I believe that it was at the very moment when He was in the Garden of Gethsemane, when blood began to come forth, when He prayed, even though the disciples could not stay up at the very time that He could, He prayed because He had a tremendous amount of the sins of the entire world upon Him. And it was in that battle, in that garden, because, you know, they say that the most important two things that's in the entire Bible is the two gardens. The Garden of Eden, where sin began to take place, and then the Garden of Gethsemane, the very place where the olives were crushed and extracted the oil from them. Man, there was a great amount of pressure that was upon the life of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so I thank God if we remember me, the personal pronoun, talking about our Lord and Savior today, betray me. Because how many of us today have not betrayed our Lord and Savior at some time or another? Jesus would rather go to hell, listen to what I'm saying, to save us than to return to heaven without us. And I'm going to tell you, that's exactly what He did. I thank God He beat death, hell, and the grave.
And he went all the way down and preached to those that needed to hear the gospel, amen. And began to take those back out and put them around him. And so I thank God, every one of us today, as we go through the many times of life of what we're dealing with, here in Matthew chapter 26, those that are able to stand this morning, will you stand with us as we honor the reading of God's Word this morning? Matthew chapter 26, verse 14, we start out with, and we'll be skipping down to verse 20 in a little bit. The Bible says, "Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, What will you give me, and I will deliver him unto you? And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity." Notice another betrayer right there. "To betray him." On down in verse 20. "Now when the evening was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said," notice, "Master, is it I? And he said unto him, Thou hast said." Skip right down to verse 47 and going down to verse 50. "And while he yet spake to Judas, one of the 12 came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail," notice again, "Master," and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, "Friend, wherefore art thou come?" Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. You may be seated. Let's pray this morning. Father, we're so thankful today that you paid the price that not a one of us could pay for ourselves. And I ask, God, as we stand here today, that you will give us the ability to speak on your behalf as we break this bread of life of yours unto this sheepfold. Father, I thank you for the wonderful presence that we feel here today. And Lord, if there is someone here, Lord, that has not went all out for Jesus. Lord, they've been around everybody else that knows Jesus. Lord, they've been around and had a great many opportunities to accept Jesus, but they never truly have. And I pray that today they would look at themselves really good and realize that the best thing that they could ever receive is the gift of eternal life. Lord, that will give them a promise to live eternally with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we're so thankful for your church family, for People's Valley Baptist Church, and I pray that you'll hide us behind your cross today as we present your gospel unto them, each and every one today, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen.
Matthew wrote this 20 years later, but yet he referred to it as one of the 12 when he would talk about Judas. One of the 12. What an embarrassing thing, because can you imagine to think, as we look at this, one of the key things that I want you to take away this morning is even when we betray God, God will never betray you. I thank God for that. You know, as we look at our lives today, each and every one of us deal with some things that we go through. And especially where you could imagine if you had somebody that was going to, if you knew intentionally was going to take everything that you had and basically waste it away and just basically bankrupt you, what in the world would you do? Man, you'd get rid of them. You'd fire them if they was under your employment, because you knew the outcome of that person. But what we're talking about today is Jesus knew the prophecy. Jesus never quit with his love and his compassion. He knew exactly who Judas was when he was brought in among the others that had been baptized and made a profession of faith. He knew all of those things. But he still took him in. And I'm going to tell you something. If you look at that and realize that every one of us In John chapter 17, verse 12, the scripture tells us that Jesus called Judas the son of perdition. I thank God he says in verse 12 of John 17, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, Judas, that the scripture might be fulfilled. You know, that word perdition means waste. And so, basically, Judas comes from the word Judah, which means praise, praise the Lord. And so everything about him meant that his life should have been praising God, living it for him. But instead, it was a complete waste. Son of perdition. And so Judas Iscariot betrayed Jesus Christ with a kiss, as we read in our story this morning in the Word of God. And I'm going to tell you something. Here we see that there was one thing that we learn about this entire story, that the Lord, even though that he is betrayed, he will never betray not one of us, ever. He had a plan. His Heavenly Father had sent him to complete, and there was nothing that was going to let him betray not one of us. And so I thank God, as we look at this, we have to examine our own hearts. You know why? Because even though we never run into anyone out there, even Uga or any of our pets that have been named Judas, we do run into people out there that have been like Judas. They have examined their hearts and they've realized that, you know what? I have failed the Lord. Oh, me. Yes.
Amen.
Amen. You know, I'm not perfect. You better believe I've failed. Have I betrayed him? Yes, I have. Where many times in my life where I didn't do exactly what I should have done. Probably when he knocked at my heart the very first time, I betrayed him because I pushed him away. But boy, I'm going to tell you, how many of us, what we realize of this is when we begin to examine our own lives today, every one of us, we begin to see something about what it really means. And first of all, the application is that you can fake a relationship with Christ. You can fake a relationship with Christ. And you say, have you run into anybody like that? Well, you know what? I don't know anybody's heart. I can't see the inside of them. But I want to tell you, as we look and realize, we look at the fruit of that package, as the Bible says. We're fruit inspectors, not judges, but we're fruit inspectors. And I'm going to tell you, here is a fascinating fact about Judas and the disciples, because here we begin to look at some things, and in verse 20, down to verse 22, the Bible says, now when the evening was come, he sat down with the 12, and they did eat. What was this about? Remember last Sunday, they started off Easter with a memorial. The Lord said, I want you to remember me. I want you to remember what this means, what I'm doing. He did something that in that meal that he had never done in any of the other Passover Seders ever. He began to bless and say, this bread represents me. I'm broken for you. This cup represents my blood that's shed for you. You remember that message. And he goes on and he says unto them, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and began every one of them saying to him, Lord, is it I? I thank God, and we see exactly what he's talking about here, because you can run this same reference over in John chapter 13, verses 21 and 22, and it says, when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one to another, doubting whom he spake. Now, you know why? It's very apparent. Why? Because Jesus treated every last one of them the same. Even though that he knew Judas was going to betray him, his love for him never changed. Amen. He kept on with hope and hope and say, you know, I'm going to reach him. But the thing about it is, he never ever treated him any different. You know why? If he would have figured out who it was or any of those, he would have gave it away. He couldn't treat Judas any different than any one of the Peters or the Pauls, amen. And you know, if he wants to guess at it, you got 1 in 12 chance to get it right. And so here we look. It's possible to fake a relationship with Jesus. Just like the disciples, they were shocked to find out that somebody's going to betray them among their very elite. Who? Is it I, Lord? Is it I? Nobody had any idea. Maybe they would have thought if they were guessing it would be Peter. Peter was always getting in trouble, wasn't he? Nobody knew. Nobody had an idea. But just like the disciples, they were shocked to find out that the Lord, at the very Passover Seder, was saying, one of you that is with me is going to betray me. You say, well, hang on now. You read a story in a minute. I'll get to that in a minute. Why they didn't know what he meant when he says, who I give this to? There's a reason for that. That's right. We'll get to that in just a minute. But I'm going to tell you, can you imagine all the way back, Judas, back in chapter 26, verse 47, he says, while he yet spake to Judas, one of the 12, here's Matthew again, 20 years later, he's so shocked, he's got to say it that way. He was one of the 12. He was a faker instead of a follower. And so here came with him a great multitude with swords and staffs from the chief priests and elders of the people. Matthew was still shocked, even as he wrote this 20 years later for our information. He would refer to him as one of the 12. One of the 12, amen. And so you say, well, how did this happen? Believe it or not, they were so stunned. He was such a good faker. All of them had been baptized and had a profession of faith. He says, how do you know that? Read your Bible in Acts chapter 1, verses 16 down to verse 20. And it will tell you exactly that every one of them had been baptized and had made a profession of faith. And that here was one that had betrayed them. And so here we see something that had happened. Judas had been baptized by John the Baptist. He had made an outward profession of faith. 3 years, everything the disciples had done, everything that they had experienced, everything that they had done and saw with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, still, here was the same old Judas that had not changed. The same old person that had not got saved, amen. It's sad to realize all the things that were happening to this man, but yet he never took salvation seriously. He never took the precious gift of who our Lord and Savior was. And so for 3 years, he had heard the message of Christ. He had heard the greatest sermon that was ever preached, praise God. He had heard the greatest message that had ever been preached on the Sermon on the Mount, amen. He had heard about the Good Samaritan. He had heard about the prodigal son. He had heard about the lost sheep. But he never, ever realized the truth that he needed to accept it into his heart and life, amen. And so I'm going to tell you something. If we apply this to ourselves, it's frightening to know that someone could be exposed to so much truth, to so much gospel of Jesus Christ himself, and still fake it, and still not get the real deal of salvation, amen. And so it's so sad to know that this happens in our life today. Every one of us have experienced and run into someone that quite wasn't genuine, amen. To know that he had to just simply believe and receive. Why is it not only important to hear the truth? It's important to believe the truth and then receive the truth. Let me say that again. It's important not only to hear the truth, but also to believe the truth and to receive the truth. And there's a lot of people that are around you that the only way that can happen is living a testimony in front of them boldly each and every day. Maybe they're hearing you, but they're not quite believing it and receiving it until finally they get it. Finally, it takes that, amen. He saw the miracles Judas did. He saw the walking on the water, praise God. He saw Jesus calm the storm. Be quiet. Can you imagine? And still, he saw feeding of the 5,000, amen. He saw them few loaves and breads being blessed, amen. He saw him heal the blind, amen. He saw him heal the deaf. All the things, the lame, bring them back to life. But yet still, he faked it, amen. And so we never allow Jesus to perform the miracles of changing our own hearts sometimes. And he saw men come to Christ, amen. He saw a man by the name of Nicodemus come down, amen, and be born again. That's sad to know that that's happening today. That he pushed it all away. He saw a greedy tax collector, amen, by the name of Zacchaeus, amen, climb down out of that tree, amen, and meet Jesus Christ and become a follower and be born again, amen. He saw all of this, many, many, many people come to Christ, but he never came to Christ himself. And you know what's so amazing? That even as he performed ministry for Jesus, he still did not receive that wonderful blessing of the gospel. Because he refused him. He made him the treasurer of the group. That means he was well trusted. See, Jesus knew all of this. Jesus knew. He didn't, it wasn't that he didn't know that. He knew all of those, but he never treated him differently than any of the others because they would have picked up on it. They would have knew right then. And so at this very moment that I read to you, nobody, Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I? Nobody had an idea. That's how much Jesus loves fakers and those that have not got the real thing today. That's sad today. And so every one of us, the perfect example of what it means to have a golden opportunity in your hands and lose it. And so here, you can be connected with Jesus, but not be connected to Jesus. Judas was often at the side of Jesus, but he was never on the side of Jesus. And so it's sad to see what took place during this time, amen, of all the things that we realize that, you know what? Hey, are we a follower? Or are we a faker today, church? Are we really genuine? Are we real? Because there's a lot of folks out there that can fake it. But let's go on. He says not only that, but he says you can fake a relationship with Christ, but you can break the heart of Christ. Because Jesus had just finished washing the feet of his disciples. And they were about to observe the Passover. A relaxed setting. In Matthew 26, verses 20 and 21, they're talking to each other. They're laughing. They're joking. And then, again, I'm reading these words. Now when the evening was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. That stopped everyone. Everyone at that very moment. You see, this whole time, Jesus' heart was just breaking. Because he was expecting. He was trying everything that he could to persuade Judas to accept him. Even though that he knew the true story. John gives a little bit more detail in John chapter 13, verses 21 and 22. It says, when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit. And testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. That same word troubled is the same word they used in the shortest part of the Bible where Lazarus died. Jesus wept. That's how troubled he was. That's how much compassion. That's how much his heart broke because he felt for even Judas. Even though he hadn't got it, he felt for him. And so I'm going to tell you something. If you look and realize that everyone of how troubled in his spirit he was. Why? Not because he was going to the cross. He was ready for that. He was ready to give himself. He was broken for Judas. Because all the things that the other disciples had received, the joy, the real deal, the real thing of gospel, the real gift of salvation, Judas had never taken it to heart. He had never gotten it. And so his heart was broken for Judas about making that decision. You know, that's what we call burdens today. Every one of us have a heavy burden for somebody to get saved. We've been praying for them for a long time. They've not even been with us and around us the whole time. But still, they are not saved. They're right here among us. And you know what? There is no fruit there. Not that we're judging them, but we never saw any evidence whatsoever. You know what? We're probably just like the disciples were. We have no idea for some people. Because some people are so good at faking it. They're so good at it that you wouldn't know. But I want to tell you something. There's a day coming. And that's what broke the heart. Because Jesus knew that it was getting closer and closer to time. And so we realized that Jesus had to live with this hurt and heartache for 3 years. He was hurting. Boy, can you imagine? Man, trying to pray for somebody that's lost. Lord, save that old lost sinner. Lord, they're my son. They're my daughter. They're my wife. They're my save that sinner, Lord. And they still don't receive it. His heart was broken. And so I'm going to tell you something. How hard that it was to realize this. But we realized too that he didn't even have the courage to say, Lord. Notice what I read earlier. Lord, is it I? Judas, when he betrayed him, he never said that. Rabbi, Rabboni, Master. He never said Lord. I read it twice to you this morning. Twice he said Master. He couldn't call him Lord because, Lord, when he's the Lord of your life, you will call him Lord. It will be different when you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Every time we betray Jesus, it breaks his heart. We betray him so many times. I know I do. I'm going to tell you something. When we're ashamed to speak up and say, I belong to him. When we give testimony. We betray him when we refuse to accept that offer of salvation. We betray him when we put material things ahead of his kingdom, amen. We betray him when we deliberately disobey his commands. Oh me, oh me. And so Jesus knows that we can break his heart, amen. Let's move on. Let's move on this morning. And so we see that not only you can fake a relationship with Christ, you can break the heart of Christ, but thank God, listen to what I'm fixing to say. You cannot. We've been saying you can. You can. You cannot shake the love of Christ. Something positive just turned right then. Something changed because I thank God. He says, you cannot. Why let God shake the love of Christ that he has for each and every one of us today? Has it ever occurred to you that the only reason that Judas lived as long as he did and lasted as long as he lasted, long enough to betray Jesus Christ, was because the incredible love that Jesus had for him. Think of that. Think of that. The incredible love that he had just for one that was against him. John chapter 6 verse 24 says, 64, excuse me. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And so every one of us, can you imagine knowing what he knew? As long as he knew it, and still the love that he had right there. Not only did Jesus take no action against him, but his love for him has been very evident through those years. That gets to the part of why nobody figured out who it was. Because he was to his side of honor when he gave that dip. And he began to dip it into the very herbs and spices, amen, of that bread. And he began to place it and give it to him, amen. The prophecy was confirmed, amen. I thank God as every one of us realize of what Judas was about to do, amen. The things, even all the way back from basically Psalm 69:25, where it talked about the prophecy that was placed of where their habitation would be desolate and let none dwell in their tents. That's talking about the betrayer, amen, that was prophesied of the psalmist. And so, can you imagine of all the things that happened? A false profession by Judas. A fleshly patriotism that was not true. A final possession where Satan entered him. In John 13:27, he says, you need to go do what you need to go do. Because that was it when it took place. All the things that he had passionately tried to do for him. He could not shake the love of Christ, but still he rejected him. What can else you do? Nothing else can be done when they reject the love of Jesus Christ. And so when the disciples' feet were washed, Jesus washed Judas' feet. I don't know if many of you today know about feet washing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's in the Bible. But whenever I wash somebody's feet, I was taught by the elders around me that when you're washing their feet, not only is it a sign of love, but I would be praying for that individual when I was washing their feet. You imagine Jesus right there, just like the other disciples, washed his feet. He was praying blessings upon Judas, amen, but he never received that. And so all the things, the supper, Jesus showed love to Judas by giving him a place of honor. We remember John 13, verses 23, down to verse 26. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom, one of the disciples. They were reclining to eat, like we said last time. Whom Jesus loved, Simon Peter, therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He says, hey, tell me who this betrayer is. I want to know who it is. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, and said unto him, Lord, who is it? Verse 26, Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Why didn't they figure that out? He gave it to him right there because he was at the left hand of Jesus. He was at the place of honor at the table. That didn't make any sense. This man's at the place of honor. Jesus has honored him. He's given him the sop first. They did not have no idea whatsoever. That's why it was not an easy thing to figure out. That's how much Jesus loved Judas, even the betrayer. He went every step of the way to provide a way of escape for him. And so, can you imagine? Still, he did not receive it. Every one of us, we've got to accept and we've got to receive that for that gift to come to us. For Judas, the table was set, the deed was done, the way that it was done only added insult because he never accepted the love, the unshakable love that the Lord gives forth to all of us. Amen. You know, it's amazing. I was only 8 years old in 1972. But man, it was the second time. Thank God he comes back. Thank you. I betrayed him. I didn't open my heart the first time. But that night, in the month of September 1972, woo, buddy, we had a 1 or 2, 2:30, way on into the morning. None of us was able to go to school the next day. Because, man, when I went down, not only did I go down, I didn't go to the first knock, but it was about 8 or 9 more kids went behind me. I don't know, they were waiting for that boy. Somebody else would go, I'd go, whoo, boy, a chain reaction started. I never thought about it back then. Hey, I ain't taking credit for it. They got saved just like I did. But boy, I was not going to let that second knock at my heart go. I was not going to betray him again. No, I had to open up my heart and receive Jesus Christ. Amen. So here he was sitting at the place of honor, and he still rejected our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so I thank God, every one of us, he couldn't even call him Lord, Rabbi, Master. How did he respond? Matthew 26, verse 50. And Jesus said to him, friend. Notice what I put in your bulletin. A comrade, a fellow. He wasn't really that like a friend. A friend is someone that, yes, you do walk up and kiss them at a friendship of closeness, amen. But here, Jesus still called him a friend, a comrade. Wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. He was still calling him a friend. He was still wanting to say, hey, I am not going to give up my love for you. You cannot shake the love of Christ today, amen. And so I thank God, how can anyone live without Christ? How can anyone today live without God? But you know what? That's not the ultimate question as we get ready to leave this morning. How can anyone die without Christ?
Amen.
How can anyone go that route today and die all alone by themselves? That's something to think about. If there was a grave for Judas somewhere that could be found, a gravestone that marked where he was at, do you know what somebody would put on that final epitaph of this man? This same man that rejected. Who dies without Jesus Christ? Who does that? I'm going to tell you today, every one of us, Matthew chapter 26, verse 24, the Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Do you know why this is true? Because the Bible says that if you're born twice, that physically and spiritually, you will die once. But if you're born once, you will die twice physically and spiritually. And that's exactly what he's talking about. If you die twice, you will wish you had never been born at all. And so Judas, well, the only person in the entire Bible that had individually been right beside Jesus, and all of a sudden ended up being named in the Bible for going straight to hell. You say, what? Yeah, that's exactly what the Bible for surely tells us when we read this story. There's no doubt about this. He had a place in paradise, but he rejected it and went to hell. And so, as a pastor said one time, every sinner may go to hell unsaved, but no sinner ever goes to hell unloved. And I'm going to tell you something. As much as we love the people that we've been praying for each and every day to get saved, I want to challenge you this morning with this message. Every one of us, this last 24 hours is very personal for all of us. our families. This Easter is very personal. Not only do we start out Easter and we remember Him as we do the first of every month, every time we partake of communion, I thank God we've got to also remember that we do not want to betray Him as much as we do each and every day, because we are imperfect. Are we saved? Yes. But we still have an old fleshly nature that we contend with each and every day, that we have to crucify and die daily in this life. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed this morning. Every one of us, at some time or another, we probably have faked something. But I hope and pray this morning that everything is real, because the love that our Lord and Savior has for us, He wants the very best for all of us as well. And this morning, as we examine ourselves, and we begin to look at our life of where we stand with our Lord and Savior. Sister Sheila starts playing softly on the piano. I want to challenge you this morning. Where do you stand with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Is everything genuinely real in your life today? Or are you just one that is really just putting on a good one? Because the Lord loves you today. That He says you can fake a relationship with Christ. You can break the heart of Christ. But listen, you cannot shake the love of Christ, because there's no greater love to be found in this world today than the love and the gift that Jesus Christ wants to present to you this morning. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This morning, right where you're sitting at, the Lord can come to where you are. You know what? Your mom may know things about you, and your dad may know things about you. But there's someone that knows even the intimate details about your life, and that is our Heavenly Father. But still, He loves you. He loves you with a greater love than even your mom and your dad. And this morning, all you need to do is say, Lord, I just want to give everything to You this morning. For the very first time, I want You to come into my heart and my life. As Romans wrote, says, whosoever, you put your name right there, Darrell Bailey, shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. There's no doubt about that. It's all possible. If you'll step out in faith and take the word of the Lord and trust Him into your heart. Remember, your heart, you're the only one that can open it up. The doorknob is not there for no one except for you to open and say, Lord, I want You to come into my life right now. If you make that decision this morning for the very first time, I want you to lift that hand and say, that's me, preacher. For the very first time, I know without a shadow of doubt, I'm asking the Lord to come into my heart and life and to save my soul, to be the keeper of my soul, and to forgive me of my sins. Can you imagine? Judas turned down the forgiveness of Christ. Where He can make everything better, he turned away the forgiveness. He rejected the love of Christ. For all of those years, he never got it right. This morning, you can make it right. You can know exactly where you're going to spend eternity from this moment forward if you'll just trust the Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, this morning, Lord, You know the hearts of every one of us. Lord, I pray that You'll just touch us with Your wonderful presence as the Holy Spirit begins to continue moving forward from breast to breast this morning. Lord, what a wonderful ministry You're doing right now in the hearts of Your wonderful church. I pray this morning, Father, that You'll forgive us of the many sins that's in our life where we have failed You, Father. And Lord, there's been times where we have betrayed You. Forgive us, Lord. I know that we're only human, but I pray, Father, that each and every day that we'll try to be more like You. We've been saved. We know that we're born again. But there's times when, Lord, we're not genuine. And I pray, Father, that You'll help us in those times that we go through to be more like You in every way and fashion. In Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. As we stand at our feet this morning, if our service blessed you and your family today, send us your emails to Peoples Valley Baptist Church at pvbc47@yahoo.com. That's pvbc47@yahoo.com. Remember, Jesus is the heart of the message.